Hello, Clint.
Hello, Paul. How are you, brother?
You want some? Yeah, I'm good, man.
How's things at home then? You've got 5 weeks, is it, till baby time?
Well, the thing is, what, cause I'm going on tour on the 29th
right.
till the 10th of June.
Wow.
So I'm just hoping that it doesn't happen then.
Amazing. Yeah, well, there's a good chance something might. There might be a bit of overlap there.
I don't know, mate. Right. Anyway, we'll see.
So here we are again, another Weller album and another baby of sorts, isn't it, Paul? This is it 40 years since you made your first record now?
40 years, yeah.
40 years, 25 albums in various incarnations.
Apparently so, mate.
Amazing, isn't it? And this is your 13th solo album. The reviews so far have been brilliant. I've not seen a bad review yet. That must be quite pleasing for you.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I've had a lot of very positive reaction to it, really. Just people I see on the street or on the tube, whatever, maybe. Which is always nice as well, you know, aside from reviews. But yeah, it's all been positive, man.
Yeah. Do you sit and read the reviews then when they come out? Do you gather them all up and sit down one day and go through them all?
If I come across a magazine with it, you know, someone says, have a look at this. You know, if they're good ones, I'll read them. If they're bad ones, I would just leave them.
Yeah. Brush it to one side. Water off a duck's back and all that.
Yeah.
I like the quote that the NME said. The NME said this album is a textbook study in growing old gracefully. That's a brilliant line. Do you like that line?
I do like that line, yeah.
I think you're growing old more graceful than anybody in the rock and roll industry, personally.
Well, thank you, mate. Apart from yourself, obviously.
I don't do bad for me age. I think it's just being around music and my family just keeps you young, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Like a lot of your albums over recent years, there's an amazing amount of diversity in what's going on here. You know, sonically, you've got your funk, you've got your jazz, garage, pop, R&B. But it's still, the word soul is what comes out to me, like above all else. It's just a very soulful album again.
It is, yeah. Hopefully, yeah. That's with kind of intention, really.
You've always been a big soul fan, haven't you? I think people forget that when they think about the Weller of, you know, the young Weller, the angry young man that was like, you know, one of the pioneers of the punk scene as people saw it. But then it was all about soul. You were big into your soul music, weren't you, even then?
Yeah, always, man, yeah. From Thomas, as long as I can remember, really. But I think it's... Well, you know, the kind of sort of relationship and affinity that British people, English people have always had with Black American music, really, isn't it? And Jamaican music, you know, it's kind of a massive part of our culture, really.
Mm. And there's like a real working class bloodline through it all as well, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely, man, yeah, definitely. You know, it goes way back to hearing, like, obviously, like Motown stuff when I was a kid on the radio. But then a bit later on, like, late 60s, early 70s, going when I was a little skinhead, suaded, going to like a dance, and it was just pure soul and reggae, really.
Yeah, beautiful thing, isn't it? When you're putting this album together these days, what sort of music were you listening to? Is there a particular soundtrack that was inspiring you, or was it just pulling things out of the ether?
Yeah, I mean, because I listen to so much stuff, and, well, I mean, we all do, everyone I work with, we all listen to all sorts of music, really, and we're always checking stuff out, old, new, whatever it may be. And all sorts of styles, you know. So I think all that stuff gets fed in. There's no one particular influence on it. It's just music, you know, and just the greatness of music. That's really the inspiration, I think.
Without any boundaries and no limitations, just do what...
Yeah, absolutely, man. Just mixing it all up, you know, just all goes in the pot and comes out differently, hopefully, you know.
Yeah. So you're still very very easily inspired.
Yeah, all the time, you know. Like I say, with either new music I get to hear or old stuff I've never heard before. I find it's all inspiring, really.
A lot of people talk about this collaboration you've done with Boy George. There's a track on the album called One Tear, and it's a totally magical piece of music.
Yeah, thanks.
It must have been a nice thing to happen, that. How did you make it come about? Did you contact him, or did he give you a shout?
No, I called George, yeah. Well, obviously, I knew him from way back, from the 80s, and I've not seen him for some time, but I just saw him on TV a couple of years, two or three years ago, when he had his solo record out, and I just thought how great his voice was sounding. I think another one has just got better with time, really. And so we were going to do something on Saturn's Pattern, the last record, but it didn't work out.
Yeah.
So I managed to nab him for this one. But yeah, he was great, man.
I think it's a potential single. Has that been talked about yet?
Yeah, I think there's been some sort of stirrings of it. I'm not sure, to be honest.
And here, on that track, I think more than any other track on the album, I hear the spirit of David Bowie in it. I'm assuming that you still feel Bowie's presence in your world these days. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we always will do, won't we? I mean, it's like same thing with the Beatles, really, and Stevie Wonder. I mean, those artists that have changed, musical landscape and even cultural landscape, really. I think they'll always reverberate down the years, through the years, and and always be an inspiration for people, I think, really. True artists.
Yeah, true artists that have given us some of the most precious music of all time. Yeah. On this album, again, Paul, you've acquired the services of your inner sanctum, if you like, your favourite musicians. So you've got Craddock's on there, Andy Crofts, some amazing keyboards from Andy on there, Stevie Pilgrim and Ben Goidelia. When you're in the studio working on this stuff, is it like, I'm the boss, you do this, you do that? Or do you bounce ideas off each other? You know what I mean? Is it very much a band vibe during the recording process?
Yeah, definitely. It's whoever's got an idea. We're all just, we play, put something down or play through something, and then everyone comes up with different ideas, man. It doesn't really matter who it is. We just try it, and if it works, it works. And
right.
No one gets offended if it don't, you know. It's not like that. It's not an ego thing. So, yeah, it's pretty, democratic, really.
Occasionally, will one of them turn around and say, hang on, Paul, that sounds a bit cack, that, mate. Do you get any of that?
We just say it doesn't work, you know, we put it nicely.
Yeah.
But, of course, you know. But, I mean, there's loads of things I put down and 10 minutes later I just tell them to lose it because it ain't working.
Yeah.
But we're, no one's that precious, man. We're there for the greater good of the music, of the track, you know.
Have you been checking out any new music lately? Because every time I speak to you, you're always good at dropping some names that I've not heard of that I need to go and check out.
A few months ago, I liked the Savoy Motels record. I like their album.
Right, I'm writing that down.
American band, I thought they were good. They've made about a couple of records maybe. But then the last one was really good. The Lemon Twigs and Fox, you know what I mean? It's clever what they're doing, I think.
Have you heard Cabbage from Manchester yet, Paul? Have you heard Cabbage?
No, I've heard of them. A lot of people have been telling me about them. In fact, Noel was telling me about them. And I've heard about them and Touts as well, which I've not heard yet.
Yeah, some great stuff going on at the moment. So you've got your own studio. Black Barn Studios is your gaff, isn't it? And you let other bands use that when you're out of town, when you're not using it.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself like going listening through the door to see what's going on and see if there's anything exciting?
No, not at all. No, because when I'm not here, I'm quite happy not to be here. I'm quite happy to be at home. But most of the bands who use it are kind of, majority of them I sort of know anyway, you know. So I'll get to hear it at some point in time.
I was talking about you the other day on the radio. We were talking about tribute bands, and there's a tribute band in Manchester, and they do Jam and Weller stuff, and the singer's quite short, and they're called Small Weller. Have you heard that one?
No.
Small Weller. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Very good.
Small Weller. Could you ever see you doing it? I mean, I'm guessing around the house, you must, like me, you know, sometimes I'll do me Elvis, I'll do me Shirley Bassey. You know, could you do a good tribute of anybody, do you think, if needed, like Stars in Your Eyes, Tonight, Matthew, I'm Going to Be? Who would you be,
no,
you?
I wouldn't want to be anyone else but me, man.
Tonight, I'm Going to Be Me?
But it wouldn't really appeal to me, that, Clint,
no.
For strange reason.
Not even Bowie?
No. Not anyone, man.
Do you find yourself, do you make music every day, Paul? Do you ever have days off?
I don't necessarily make it, but I play music every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I normally try and practice at least an hour a day. Which ain't much, but at my age, it's not bad. But I try and play my guitar at least once a day, just to keep my chops up. And then the rest of the time, I'm sort of probably just playing stuff because I'm driving around and
listening.
You know, playing stuff in the car. Yeah.
Yeah. What about your kids? Do your kids like your music? Because they're both, are they five now? The twins.
They're five now, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they like mine or not. I think they do, but they're a bit too young, I think. But they love music, like all kids do.
Yeah.
It's a natural thing for us humans, isn't it, to connect with music, really. So they're always listening to music, all sorts of music. Michael Jackson's big with them at the moment.
Oh, really? Brilliant. Yeah. I found that my kids, if you've got decent music in the house, your kids will grow up liking decent music. We've got no bad music in the house, and some of the names are dropping and the styles of music that they recognise. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Well, it's good to be around that sort of music, man, that quality, isn't it?
Yeah. In my opinion, Paul, you're one of the most prolific and industrious British recording artists of all time. What's your prime motivation for keep making music? Now, I know I've asked you this before, but not on this radio station. So what's your main motivation for doing what you do?
Music's motivation in itself for me, you know. I just love hearing music, playing music, making it, whatever form it is, really. So I don't really ever think beyond that. It's inspiring in itself, really. And that's my only real motivation, to be honest, just to make it, and mainly because I have to. There's something inside me that makes me want to do it, and I never question that. I just follow it, and it's always been like that, and I don't see why it would change, really.